Good morning. Our study for this morning is Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 5. He came to Derbe, and the he in that sentence is Paul. This is describing his second missionary journey. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. That's a reference to the Jerusalem Council. Then in verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. What Luke is trying to impress upon us in this passage is that churches are strengthened. Churches grow when they have good people, that is, people who are committed to the Lord, committed to serving others rather than being served. And when they have good doctrine, the recipe for success in the church is committed people and sound doctrine. Timothy, whom we're introduced to in Acts chapter 16, is a great example of a committed person with sound doctrine. We're introduced to him there. We're told that he had a good reputation among the believers. He was well respected. He was probably in his early 20s at this time. Well, Paul is impressed with him and wants to take him along on the missionary journey. And what I'd like us to see this morning is six things about Timothy, and I want to ask the question and answer it. What are the characteristics of the person that God uses? Well, the first of the six things I want us to observe about Timothy this morning is that he was apparently converted on the first missionary journey. We believe that perhaps he witnessed the stoning of Paul, which is described in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 to 20, where Paul may have indeed died. He was at least left for dead. And it may be that Timothy observed Paul's stoning at that time and through that came to faith. It would show great courage on Timothy's part. We think that Paul brought him to Christ because 1 Corinthians 4:17, Paul calls Timothy my beloved son, or my son whom I love. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul calls Timothy my true son in the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, we read this. Paul writing to Timothy, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. For these and other reasons, we believe that Timothy was converted under the ministry of Paul." And that leads us to the second thing about Timothy, and that is he comes from a godly heritage. He was prepared to respond by faith in Jesus Christ because of what his mother and grandmother had done. His mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois were Jewesses who taught Timothy the scripture from a very early age. In fact, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, "How from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother influenced him for the Lord's sake, influenced him by the Word of God. the influence of a godly mother and a godly heritage of faith is the influence that we celebrate this weekend with Mother's Day. There's a great illustration of the impact of a mother in the life of a child in the life of world-renowned neurosurgeon, Dr. Ben Carson, who I'm sure many of you are familiar with. He once, quoting Abraham Lincoln, said this, "Abraham Lincoln once said, 'All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my mother.' I'm not sure I want to say it quite like that, but my mother, Sonia Carson, was the earliest, strongest, and most impacting force in my life. It would be impossible to tell you about my accomplishments without starting with my mother's influence." Dr. Ben Carson's mother, Sonia, was profiled in a website entitled Foundations with Janet Dennison, and the author said this, "Sonia Carson's life motto is, 'Learn to do your best, and God will do the rest.' Her story is fascinating and worth knowing." Dr. Carson, a respected neurosurgeon, has an amazing story and credits his success in life to his mother. Dr. Carson said, "I not only saw and felt the difference my mother made in my life, I am still living out that difference as a man." What was the difference that Sonia Carson made in the lives of her children? The author of the article goes on to say, "Each week, the boys were required to check out and read 2 library books. Sonia required her boys to write a book report on one of these books each week, and she would use a highlighter pen to grade those reports. Later, both boys realized that their mom had not read those reports she had graded. Sonia was not able to read." However, the writer goes on, Ben Carson said it only took about 1 month before he was rushing home from school to read his latest book. His mom was right. Reading did change his life, but so did his faith in God. When Ben was 14, he struggled with excessive anger issues and almost took the life of another boy. Carson said he prayed for God's help and picked up a Bible which opened to the book of Proverbs and verses about anger. He believes God took away his temper and gave him the ability to become a surgeon. Dr. Carson still reads from Proverbs every day. Well, the article concludes summarizing the lessons he had learned from his mom. Carson says this, "Through hard work, perseverance, and a faith in God, you can live your dreams." And surely Dr. Ben Carson lived his dreams. What an influence his mother had upon his life. What an influence mothers, grandmothers of faith have upon their children today. In the little booklet, 365 Life Lessons from Bible Personalities, the writer said this, "As parents, we have no idea of the amount of influence we have in shaping our children's spiritual destinies. Family prayer times, spontaneous conversations about God during life's everyday moments, and reading our children Bible stories contribute to a spiritual foundation that can withstand the storms of life." And then the author of the devotional asks you and me to consider, what family habit or tradition can you begin this week that will attract your children to your Christian faith? The third thing we learn about Timothy is that he came from a divided family. His father was Greek. His mother was Jewish. His father had prevented him from being circumcised, which would have been a stumbling block to his ministry among Jews. So Paul circumcised him to remove this roadblock to his ministry. Salvation was not the issue here, but rather to remove this roadblock from Timothy being effective in ministering to Jews. Timothy grew up in a divided home, his mother a Jewess, his father a Greek. There are many today who grow up in divided homes with the mother or father a Christian and the other not. Larry Richards says this, "It really is difficult for those who have to bring up children in a home where only one spouse is a believer, but Timothy serves as a beacon of hope. Despite difficulties, the sincere faith of his believing mother was shared effectively with her son." God can and will work in the children of divided homes. If you want to read more about Paul's view on this, you can read it on divided homes. You can read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 12 to 16. The fourth thing we learn about Timothy is that he had a genuine concern for others. He was other-centered, not self-centered. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 24, Paul says this about Timothy. Paul says that Timothy is a unique person, and to put it in Paul's words, "I hope in the Lord Jesus," this is Philippians 2:19, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon." Timothy had a genuine concern for others. He was other-centered, not self-centered. In The Purpose-Driven Life, the author says this, "We need to shift from self-centered thinking to other-centered thinking. The Bible says, my friends, stop thinking like children. Think like mature people. This is the first step to becoming a world-class Christian. Children only think of themselves. Grown-ups think of others. God commands, don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too," from Philippians 2:4. The writer goes on, "Of course, this is a difficult mental shift because we're naturally self-absorbed, and almost all advertising encourages us to think of ourselves. The only way we can make this paradigm switch is by a moment-by-moment dependence on God. Fortunately, he doesn't leave us to struggle on our own. Begin," the writer says, "asking the Holy Spirit to help you think of the spiritual need of unbelievers whenever you talk to them. With practice, you can develop the habit of praying silent breath prayers for those you encounter. Say, Father, help me to understand what is keeping this person from knowing you." The fifth thing about Timothy that we learn is that 1 and 2 Timothy were written by Paul to Timothy when Paul pastored the church at Ephesus. Included were pastoral instructions, instructions on church structure and leadership and conduct, invaluable to we in the church today. The sixth thing about Timothy is that he was gifted but needed encouragement to use his gifts. We see this in 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 1:6. Timothy was mightily used of God. Who is the person that God uses? We might say these six things. The person who God uses is one who is saved, that is, by grace through faith, has put their faith in Jesus Christ, in him alone, not themselves, not religion, not religious ritual, but in Jesus alone for salvation. The person God uses is one who knows the Word of God. The person that God uses is one who knows what it is to live by faith. The person that God uses is one who is teachable. The person whom God uses is one who is willing to be used of him. And finally, the person whom God uses is genuinely concerned for the interests of Jesus Christ in others. May you have a blessed prayer time.